Well, amen. Praise the Lord again for that special tonight. We're grateful again for that unseen hand. And I just love the theme that I don't think was planned tonight, but just that idea of God's grace in the midst of our difficulties and in our trials. And we're grateful for that because we all deal with difficulties, don't we? We all go through issues in this life, and we're grateful for God's hand. And I'm looking forward to one of these days when we get to heaven and being able to stand before the throne of God. And he just kind of allows us to see that unseen hand that has guided us through this entire life. And isn't that a blessing tonight? The Bible says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And that's a powerful, powerful truth, especially in the midst of difficulty. And so we're grateful for that. If you take your Bibles and turn to Psalm 119 this evening, Psalm 119, I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to preach tonight. And I was praying about what the Lord would have me to present, and the Lord brought me to this passage. And just have one verse for my text tonight. And I know what you're thinking. It means it'll be short. Well, not necessarily. And I don't try to preach long, but there's a lot to cover in this one verse. And so if you're able to, I invite you to stand this evening. And I will not belabor the point tonight, but I do want to give you what God would have me to give you tonight. Probably out of all of Psalm 119, this is probably one of the more familiar verses. And probably one that many, maybe even in this room, have committed to memory this evening. But the Bible says in verse 165 of Psalm 119, there's a lot of verses there. I had to give you the right verse to get to. Verse 165. The Bible says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." And I want to just preach a message tonight entitled this, "A Love for God's Word Brings Peace and Stability." Amen. That word offend, it has the idea of a stumbling block and kind of tripping up as we go through this life. And yet, I want to just point out from Scripture that a love for God's Word would bring the peace that we have need of to live this life, and the stability that we have need of to live this life. And let's pray, and then you can be seated. Dear Lord, as we come before you tonight, we're grateful for your presence in this place, Lord. We understand, Lord, the promise that where two or three are gathered in your name, Lord, the promise is that you're here in our midst. And we're grateful for that because, Lord, we don't want just a gathering of people on a Wednesday evening. Lord, we need your presence and we need your hand in this place. And, Lord, I don't want to just get up and say words. I want to preach what you've laid on my heart. So, Lord, I pray that you'd help me tonight. And I pray for each and every person that is gathered in this place, Lord. Again, they've made an effort to be here, Lord. It's not easy, I know that. And so, Lord, I pray that you'd give them exactly what they have need of, Lord. I pray that there would have been a value for us being in church tonight, and that we would recognize that. So, Lord, please use me, help me. I need your help tonight. I pray for those that'll listen that you'd help them as well. We love you and we thank you. In your name I pray, amen. And you can be seated. I thought about it as I was kind of looking at this passage. You know, the words peace and chaos don't really belong together, do they? We would say this, if you were trying to have peace in the midst of chaos, we would say that's what we would call an oxymoron. In other words, it just doesn't line up, right? There's either going to be peace or there's going to be a chaos. And if you're raising small children tonight, I'm going to just tell you, there is no peace. It's always chaos. But that's okay, because one of these days, that chaos will be gone and you'll miss that chaos. And so in the midst of it, we see this idea of peace and chaos. And I would just tell you that we don't generally think of those two things as a reality. And yet, can I tell you, we find here in God's word tonight that we as Christians are meant to enjoy the peace of God while inhabitants here on this earth. In fact, it's not just in this passage, but in multiple places throughout Scripture that we understand this, that God desires that his children have the peace of God as they live this life. And the truth is, I would say this, and you understand this, we live in a tumultuous world tonight, don't we? I mean, you begin to look around, and we see all of the things that are going on in this world. And in fact, if you were looking for a reason to be unsettled, you wouldn't have to look very far, would you? I mean, we think about the financial stresses of 2022, right? And everyone's watching their investments go this way, And they're watching inflation go this way. I mean, they're on completely different trajectories. And some are wondering, oh, maybe just a couple of years away from retirement, am I going to be able to retire? And so you have this financial stress. And every time you go to the gas station and you fill up your car, you're like, I remember when it didn't cost me nearly this much to fill up my car. And so there's financial stresses that we deal with. And then there's family stresses. I know, listen, maybe your family is perfect tonight. But most of us, listen, can I just tell you, in the home, you get enough people living together for a long enough time, there's going to be some stress and some friction within the home. And so there's family stress. And then you have work stress. And I don't have to tell you this, but you understand this idea that in today's business climate, can I tell you, we're probably busier than we've ever been. More conveniences, more helps, more technology, but there's more expected out of workers, and so there's this pressure, and rarely does anybody really work a 9-to-5 job anymore. It's really somewhat of an unheard of thing, and so we have this idea of work stress, and then we think about political turmoil. Let's not even talk about politics tonight, right? I mean, there's no discourse anymore. There's no ability for two people to get together who are differing opinions and have a civilized conversation. It usually ends up with screaming and yelling and shouting. And so you have political turmoil, and you have crime, and you have really all these other things. And you're like, Brother Andy, it's kind of a bummer of a way to start out a Wednesday evening service. It gets better, I promise you that. But I just want you to understand that we live in a world that's full of difficulty. And yet we come across this short verse that carries it with this idea that God's people should experience peace and not be offended regardless of what we have to deal with. That idea, again, of being offended is that idea to stumble. And can I tell you tonight that even though this world is chaotic, and it is, that we as God's children should experience peace and stability. Can I remind you, listen, this is really a picture of the world. It seems like things are spinning out of control. Everywhere you go and everywhere you look, and it's like we have this problem and we have this problem, and someone gets on the news and they report of this difficulty, and it's almost like, listen, it's a downward spiral and the world's spinning out of control. And I want to just tell you, listen, sometimes if we're not careful in the Christian life, it can be a series of ups and downs, right? Almost like we're on a roller coaster. Like we crest that first hill and we come across that first hill, and then it's a free-for-all after that point, and it's just ups and downs and ups and downs. And yet I want to remind you today, while the world is spinning like this and it's spinning out of control, that God desires his children just to live a life of peace and stability. Not the ups and downs, but always abounding in the work of the Lord. Just steadily moving forward with our eyes on him. And so we see that in this passage. And really, my question is this. Listen, is God's expectations higher than we could possibly attain? I mean, you look at a passage like this and you see, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Peace and stability, that's what God desires for his children. Here's the question. Is God's desires for his children higher than we can attain? Or how about this? Is God's expectations for his children, are they unrealistic? Or maybe this, as his children, do we miss out on the peace that he desires that we have? Sometimes, maybe we have a lower view of God than we ought to have. And the help that he desires to give to us, and even some of the miracles that he can work in the midst of our difficulties. And so while God is there and he's saying, I want you to live with peace and I want you to live with stability, sometimes if we're not careful, listen, we have such a lower view of God that we say, well, God, I don't think you can work in my situation. I want to remind you tonight that God can work in any situation. God is there for you. And so the theme for this passage really could be summed up by this statement. The application of God's word to this life brings great calm even when we're surrounded by chaos. I want to say that again because I want you to get a hold of this. Listen, the application, the applying of the word of God to this life. In other words, taking what is on the page, the promises that are there in Scripture, and then beginning to personally apply them to this life. The application of God's word to this life brings great calm even when we're surrounded by chaos. Even when it seems like the world is spinning out of control. Because taking the Scriptures is almost like taking a pair of glasses and putting them on and allowing us to see this world through the lens of Scripture. And just to be honest, it ought not to surprise us tonight when we see out of control and chaos in this world. And yet, can I tell you, we have the peace of God in our life. And so as we live this life and apply God's word to this life, we'll experience peace even in the midst of difficulty. So I want to break down this verse, if I can, tonight and kind of just go through it and kind of just study the words that were here. And so the first thing I want you to see is that, first of all, we must love God's word. And listen, I understand that's a basic thing for us as Christians, but I want to kind of expound on that tonight. Can I tell you the step towards peace that we see in this passage begins with a love for God's word. He says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law." He says if you're going to have this peace and if you're going to have this stability, it begins with a love for the things of God, a love for God's word. Can I tell you, the author of this psalm isn't identified. And there's speculation, and of course, many of your psalms would have a heading, and it would say it's a psalm of David, or it would ascribe it to somebody else. And so this psalm doesn't have an identifier as far as who it is. And some think it's David, and it could be, and others have different ideas of who it might be. It really doesn't matter. But I want you to understand what is identified is that the psalmist's heart is defined by a love for God's word. Listen, that's one thing that we can plainly and very clearly see when we study Psalm 119. The Bible doesn't tell us who wrote the psalm, but here's what is defined. Here's a man who has a heart for the things of God. You have 176 verses, and all of them have to deal with God's word, lifting high God's word, lifting it up. That's an incredible thing. Go through the Psalm 119 and go through verse by verse, and here's what you're going to see. The theme of God's word over and over and over again. And you have a man, listen, whose heart is for the things of God. And here's what I love. When I learn from someone, I want to know that God has already done a work in their heart. And we arrive at this psalm and we realize this. Listen, he says we have to have a love for God's word. And it's very evident when you study this psalm that here is a man who has a heart for the things of God and has a love for his word. And so he says there, look at verse 162. He says this, "I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil." He says, listen, when I come to God's word, there's a joy in my heart and my life because I understand this. It's like I'm going to find something that's very, very valuable in God's word. I rejoice in God's word as one that findeth great spoil. Now listen, I understand that probably all of us have had a conversation with someone who said something like this. "I just can't get anything out of the Bible." You know, there's a lot of big words in there, and there's a lot of different themes in the Bible, and there's a lot of different authors in the Bible, and really it's kind of hard to understand. I just don't get anything out of the Word of God. Can I tell you tonight, if I told you in this building somewhere on this property, there was a large sum of money hidden somewhere, and I said, tonight we're going to have a scavenger hunt after church. And there's a large sum of money. I mean, I'm not talking like a couple of dollars. I'm talking a significant amount of money hidden somewhere on this property. Can I tell you that I think just about everyone here in this room would go after that tonight? I mean, we might try to play it casual and cool, like don't really want people to see me searching for it. But I got a feeling after a while we'd have this building torn apart. Why? Because we understand the value of what is there. Listen, we would all benefit from finding a large sum of money, and there's no doubt there's bills that need to be paid and different things like that and things that we might like to have. And yet I just want to remind you tonight, listen, as we come to God's word, there is something to be found in God's word. And yet I'll just remind you tonight that it does take effort. The Bible says that we're to study to show thyself approved unto God, that there's some work that it takes, and the Bible says that we're to rightly divide the word of truth, and yet the psalmist reminds us tonight that there are treasures to be found, but it takes effort. Amen. It takes some work. It takes some digging to get into the words of God, and yet there are treasures, and the psalmist says this, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You know, I was thinking about this. I love when God gives to me just exactly what I have need of in the moment. And sometimes you'll open up your Bible in your own personal study, and God just brings you to what you have need of for that day. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Sometimes we come into here, and we come into the service, and we come in, and we're weary. We're dealing with difficulty, and isn't it wonderful when God uses the Word of God to just be exactly what we have need of? Why? Because there's treasure in the Word of God. There's something to be found in the Word of God. And so, listen, we understand this, that first of all, we have to have a love for God's Word. That love, you understand it, it means to have an affection for or a great desire. And I just ask you tonight, do you have a great desire for the Word of God? Is there affection in your life? Job would say it this way in Job 23 and verse 12. He says this, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. I want you to get a hold of that. Because we understand, listen, to live life, it takes physical food, right? We need physical energy. And I was thinking about this. I don't make a habit out of missing meals. I just don't. I try to show up when food is prepared. And I'll go seeking it out if I need to. And there's an occasion around here that life gets busy, and sometimes we're preparing for things, and I, you know, just kind of go through lunch without really eating. And I can guarantee you, when I get to dinner, I'm not skipping dinner if I skipped lunch. Why? Because we understand the necessity of food. And we get to a certain point, listen, and you've probably been there, you start to get a little bit weak, right? And you're working hard, and maybe you're busy, and you realize, listen, I've got to take some time, I've got to get some nourishment in my life, and yet I'm reminded of the words of Job tonight. Here's what he says. He says, as valuable as physical food is to me for my nourishment, how much more valuable is my spiritual food for my spiritual nourishment that I have need of? And he says, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Listen, we wouldn't skip meals. We wouldn't go for days on end without eating. And yet sometimes as God's children, we can go days without being in God's word, without receiving the spiritual food and the spiritual nourishment that we have need of. And so, can I tell you, to a greater degree, as we think about the food that we need to function, to a greater degree, we ought to desire God's word, knowing that we can't function without it. In John 15, Jesus says this, for without me, watch this, ye can do nothing. If I want to live one day in the Christian life in my own strength, I accomplish nothing. I need him. I need his help. I need his spiritual nourishment. I need his word to come into my life and to take over. And so evaluate first in our lives. Listen, where is my love for God's word? Is there a love for God's word? Is there a desire for the things of God? Let me ask you this question. Are you in it and around it daily? The Bible says it's your spiritual food. And so we start with a love for God's word. That's where we start. If we desire this peace and this stability, we start with a love for God's word. And I would just want every Christian here tonight just to make a simple commitment to God. Lord, that I'm going to be in your word on a daily basis. That I'm going to take in that spiritual food that I have need of so that I can live the life that you desire for me to live. And so we find that when we love God's word, then we find that there are two things that are produced in our lives when we love his word. And really, those are the point of this passage here. The first is this idea of peace. In fact, he quantifies this by saying it's great peace. Peace in abundance. Multiplying peace in our lives in quantity. That word peace has this idea of security, of safety, of welfare, if you will. Can I tell you tonight, I love this thought. When you step into the pages of his word, you find that you are cared for by a God who is all powerful. We begin to think about this world and how it's spinning out of control. and how it seems like it's getting worse all and all over and over again. And yet I'm reminded when I step into the pages of God's word, I serve a God who has all power, a God who can work through any situation. There's a peace that God gives to us. And can I tell you, sometimes, listen, we pray something like this: God, I need to see your power. Lord, if you really do have power, I need you to intervene in this situation. I need to see you at work. Lord, this request that I have, Lord, I want to see you work. And listen, I get it. And I believe that we can pray specifically to God. But I also remind you, listen, you may not see God's hand the way you desire to see it in that situation. But if you open up the pages of Scripture, here's what you're going to see. You're going to see God's power all over Scripture. You're going to see God at work, and you're going to be reminded of this: if God did it in that situation, God can certainly do it in my situation. I want to remind you that every time you step into this book, it's a reminder of His power and His ability. And then we find this as we understand the peace that God desires to give to us. It's a peace that comes from the power of God and understanding of His power. I find this, that the power of God surpasses any power of this world. We live in a world that's full of a lot of things, a lot of powerful things. And yet I would just remind you tonight that none of those things compare to the power of our God. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think about tonight? Look at verse 161. The psalmist says in this verse, "Princes have persecuted me without a cause." The psalmist is talking about the earthly governments here of this world. And here was what the psalmist said, that princes have persecuted me. They put me through difficulties without a cause. In other words, listen, I didn't do anything wrong other than simply serving God, and I endured some persecution. And the princes there, it's a reminder that those are the authorities of this world. By the way, the authorities that God has given power to in this world. And so we see that he was dealing with some persecution, and it's just a reminder tonight that there have been periods of suffering for Christians. I got to be honest with you tonight. As we think about America, we may look at America and say, the climate really isn't great for Christianity. And I got to be honest with you, it's been relatively easy to live in America and be a Christian in the world in which we live. It really has been. And listen, I don't know how long that's going to be that way. But I'm reminded that there have been some very dark times in our world's history in which Christians have been killed and have been martyred. And I'm also reminded, listen, just because we have it going really well in America today, there are other countries in the world where Christians are dying for their faith right now. And so we understand that what the psalmist here is saying, listen, princes have persecuted with me without a cause. In fact, I want you to turn over to 1 Peter chapter 2. I want you to see this and keep your finger there in Psalm. We'll be back here in just a moment. But 1 Peter would address this as well. He says this in chapter 2 in verse 20. He says, "For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently?" So basically what Peter is saying here is, listen, if you do something wrong and you get in trouble for it, that's on you. So it's not like tonight, I was thinking a way I could illustrate this, and I know this will be really far-fetched tonight, but if I went out and robbed a convenience store tonight, all right, you could never imagine me doing that. I go and rob a convenience store tonight, and I get thrown in jail for a little bit of time, and I come back to when I get released from jail, I come back to church, and pastor asks for testimonies, and I raise my hand, and I say, I just want to thank the Lord for how I endured that persecution. I went out and robbed a convenience store, and I kept my testimony in high regard. I went into prison, and I served the Lord faithfully in prison. You say, that's ridiculous. Because you went out and robbed a convenience store, and you got what's coming to you. And so Peter is basically saying, listen, if we're just going to live, and there is no glory if when we're buffeted for our faults, you take it patiently. But, look at verse 20, if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. Because God understands and God sees what we're going through. And I'll just turn over to chapter 3 and verse 12. Because the Bible says there, for the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. And I just want to remind you tonight, listen, as we live this life, and sometimes as we endure difficulty, and we go through hard things, there's a reminder, listen, if we're patiently suffering through those things for the cause of Christ, the Lord knows what you're going through. And he sees you. And not only does he see you, listen, he's listening to your prayers tonight. Isn't that a wonderful thought that we have to think? There's peace that surrounds that. But the only way I find these things is when I'm in the Word of God and God shows me these promises. And so he says there in Psalm chapter 119, verse 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause. And I just remind you that we may experience chaotic moments in this world unjustly. And I can just imagine the psalmist here. He's standing before the governors of this world. He's done nothing wrong, right? I mean, all he's done is serve God. He's being persecuted unjustly, suffering unfairly. And surely his response would be this, to question why. Why, God? Did you not see me over here? I was just serving you over in this place. Maybe he was a preacher. And Lord, I was just preaching your word. I was just doing what you called me to. And Lord, do you not realize that the governors of this world, those that are in power here in this world, they're dealing with me unjustly. God, why? And I'll just tell you that sometimes in the midst of our suffering, maybe that's our question to God. God, why? Why am I dealing with this? But I want you to understand tonight as we look at the rest of this verse, listen, that's not his focus at all. He says, princes have persecuted me without cause. Watch this though. But my heart standeth in awe of thy word. He says, listen, I'm going through all of these things, and I'm going through this difficulty, and I want to just remind you, listen, his focus is not on the princes of this world. You know where his focus is? It's on the things of God. It's on the power of God. And I would just remind you tonight, as we go through the difficulties of this life, sometimes if we're not careful, we can be looking over this way. And we can see all that we're dealing with over here. And we can see over here. And we can look at a government and we can say, boy, I just don't understand why they're doing the things that they're doing. And I just want to remind you, listen tonight, that our heart is to remain fixed on him. Focused on him. I love this thought. He's standing before some people of power. And yet, no doubt, the reminder is in his brain that they have power because my God gave them the power that they have. And just as soon as my God wants to take away their power, he can do that. And oh, by the way, listen, it might seem like we're losing in this moment, but I understand this when I get into the words of God. I find that in the end, listen, we are victorious through Christ and the work that he does within us. And I just want to remind you tonight that in the midst of chaos, we can have peace when we love God's word and we find the promises of God as we live this life. Over in Acts chapter 20, I want to read this real quick. Paul was addressing the Christians there in Acts chapter 20, and I love this thought. The Bible says in verse 17, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And then when they were come to him, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I've came into Asia, after what manner I've been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there. You know, the Apostle Paul, and he listen, we understand his life was not easy. And he says, listen to the fellow Christian, he says, you know my testimony. How I labored and how I served with you and how I went through all these difficulties and I continued to serve the Lord. And he says, even now I'm getting ready to go bound to Jerusalem. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. In other words, can I help you understand this? That realistically, Paul's life was somewhat in chaos at that time. I mean, he's facing an unknown future. He's getting ready to go to Jerusalem. He's bound, and he's going to stand before the religious leaders there, and he's probably going to be persecuted for his faith. And I love what he says in verse 23. He says, I don't know what's going to happen there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. He says, you know what's happening? I do know this, that God is using my testimony and people are being saved. But then I love this in verse 24. But none of these things move me. He says, listen, the world is in chaos. My world is in chaos, but none of these things move me. Why? Because he was focused on Christ. He had the peace of God in his life as he went through these difficulties. He says, listen, I want to finish my course with joy. Can I tell you, we look at a world today and all that's going on, and I'm just determined now more than ever in the chaos of this world just to continue serving God with joy in my life. At this point, I have a desire to finish my ministry serving God with joy. It doesn't matter what goes on in this world. Why? Because God has us here. And God has us here in this time and in this moment. Listen, it was no accident that you were born when you were born. It was no accident that you were born and given the gifts that you had. We might say, God, why wouldn't you let us be born in a better time? And yet I just say this tonight, it doesn't matter what goes on out there. We ought to have the peace of God and finish our course with joy. And some might say this, oh, it's getting bad out there. Yep, sure is. Well, would you hear about this situation over here? Sure did. We hear about these things all the time. Well, we have an election coming up. What if that doesn't go the way we, and it might not. Well, what about this law? Did you hear, I mean, this city, did you hear some of the things they're implementing over here in the city? Sure, we're hearing all these things. And if that's our focus, we have cause to worry. And if a presidential election is our focus, or a midterm election is our focus, there's some cause to worry. Or if an earthly government setting forth an earthly law is our focus, we'd have reason to worry. But I want to remind you tonight, listen, our focus is not to be on any of those things. Our focus is to be on God and his word. We're to love his law. To have a great appreciation for the things of God, so that when I go through chaos out there, and when it seems like my life is doing this number, and it's going up and it's going down, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get alone with God and his word. Lord, call my focus back to you, the things of you. And so we see peace. When we love God's word, we'll experience great peace. And then the other thing, and I'll be very quick with this, we've just got a few minutes left tonight. The other thing that's produced by a love for God's word is this idea of a stability. He says there, back in our text of Psalm 119 and verse 165, he says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Not one thing. Now that word offend is an interesting word, and I'm going to try to illustrate this by using another passage of scripture. I want you to turn over to Leviticus chapter 19 and verse 14 tonight. And I want you to stay with me, because I want to try to kind of walk through this thought if we can tonight. The word offend that's seen in Psalm 119:65 comes from a Hebrew word which means a stumbling block or an obstacle. And the Bible sheds a little bit more light on it in Leviticus 19 and verse 14. The Bible says there, thou shalt not curse the deaf, nor put a stumbling block before the blind, but shalt fear thy God, I am the Lord. It's interesting because you study that word, and that's the same Hebrew word, the stumbling block there in Leviticus 19 that we see in Psalm 119 and verse 165. It's the same Hebrew root word. It's a stumbling block. And evidently, as Moses was writing the law, God wanted him to include this specific law, that they were not to put a stumbling block before the blind. And so the idea here was this, that obviously in Bible times, those that were blind were mostly destitute. They were beggars. And they were very, very vulnerable, down and out. And so, as they would travel from place to place, oftentimes they carried their belongings. And no doubt they were beggars, and so they had some money with them that they had collected. And I'm just telling you that there were some really, really low-life people that evidently would take some type of a stumbling block and put it in their path. And they had no idea. They didn't see it coming. They had no way of seeing. Obviously, they were blind. And so someone would take a thief of some sort, a very low person, would take something and throw it in their path, and it would be an impediment in their journey. And the idea there is that obviously they couldn't see, and they would walk through it, and they would stumble over that impediment. And consequently, they would most likely hurt themselves, and the thief could come in to that person who is in a very vulnerable place and begin to rob them and take all of their possessions. And so that's the picture that we see here in Psalm 119, verse 165. I mean, that's the idea. That's what a stumbling block was used for. And so we come to this passage, and we find this evening that we have an adversary who, by the way, doesn't really play fair, who doesn't have any ethics. And can I tell you tonight, the devil desires to destroy you and destroy me. And so he uses what we would call offenses tonight, these obstacles in our path. So we can be living a life like we're supposed to, right? I mean, we're in church on Wednesday night. Praise God for that. That's a blessing. Amen. We're serving God, trying to raise our family in church. We're doing the things. I mean, we're involved in ministry. We're teaching kids. We're maybe working in the nursery. We're doing these things. And sometimes it seems like out of nowhere, I mean, literally out of nowhere, all of a sudden there's an obstacle in our path, an offense. And you may have even said these words before. Wow, didn't see that one coming. Where did that come from? I mean, God, don't you understand? I'm over here, and I'm just serving you, and I'm doing what I can, and I'm faithful, and I'm just looking to the things of God. And then all of a sudden, this impediment is thrown in my path. And God, you realize I didn't need this right now. I didn't want to go through this. And I would just say this tonight, an impediment like that really can cause great difficulty, can it? Watch this, if we allow it to. If we allow it to, that's the key. So it could be a trial. Some of you are dealing with some tremendous trials right now. And it's like it came out of nowhere. Here you are, you're walking down life's path, things are good, serving the Lord, in church, and all of a sudden, this, it's right here. It's like an enemy has just, I mean, he saw you coming, and an enemy has just taken an impediment and thrown it right in the path in front of you. Or maybe it's not a trial. Maybe it's something that somebody else did. They offended you. And the devil worked through that. I mean, it's like the devil took that situation, and there you were. You were serving the Lord, and you were just following and doing the things that you were supposed to do, and all of a sudden, the devil just throws it in your path. It's an impediment along the way. Or, how about this? Someone said something. They said something about me, about my situation. They had no clue how that would have hurt me. They had no clue about those things, and yet, listen, they probably didn't intend to hurt you, but here's what the devil does. It's like he takes an impediment and he just throws it in our path. Here we are, we're serving God. We're walking along, we're in church, we're doing the things that we're supposed to be doing. We're following after him. And it's almost like this, Lord, did you not see this? Lord, could you not kept me from this? And I'm just telling you, listen, the picture is like a blind man walking and someone throws an impediment into his path. And that's a difficult situation. There's no doubt about it. But I'm just here to tell you, it certainly doesn't have to cause us to stumble. In fact, listen, as I stand on the authority of God's word, if we're in God's word and if we love the things of God, it will not cause us to stumble. Why? Because God has the help that we need. And God can help us. And listen, I'm just reminding you tonight that you're dealing with an enemy who's throwing things in your path and where you're going. He's throwing things in your way, trying and aiming to get you to stumble and to fall over. And I'm just reminding you, listen, again, if those things are your focus, you will stumble. But if he's your focus, if his word is your focus, he can help you through those things. And can I tell you, there's two ways to deal with an offense. One way is to deal with it based upon leaning on my own understanding. In other words, I'm going to deal with this based on how I feel is best. Usually that means somebody else is going to pay, right? I'm going to let them have it. If they hurt me, I'm going to hurt them. Can I tell you, when we deal with it that way, our solution is often, how is this going to benefit me? How can I get my way? How can it be all about me? Or we'll deal with an offense by turning it over to Him, by getting alone with God, by getting in the pages of Scripture. Can I tell you, listen, if you're offended by something or someone, probably the first thing to do ought not to be just to speak. It might just be to just withdraw and get alone with God and say, God, help me to think properly. Lord, I don't want this to be an offense. I don't want to stumble, and I don't want to fall in this situation, and there's a great big obstacle in my path. So Lord, would you help me to think correctly? Help me to take in your word, that spiritual food that I have need of, so that when these obstacles come in my path, Lord, it's not about me. I love this. Listen, how can I deal with it so you're glorified? You see the difference? One's all about me, what I think is best, and the other is all about Him. This is how we do it, by getting into God's word, by searching it, rejoicing at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Can I tell you tonight, it begins with a great love for God's word. I have a world that's spinning out of control. Maybe even say, Brother Andy, it seems like my life is spinning out of control. And God wants you to live a life of peace and stability, just steadily moving forward. I mean, it's obstacle after obstacle, difficulty after difficulty. And yet, while there's chaos swirling all around us, peace and stability. Because the application of God's word to this life brings a great calm even when surrounded by chaos. So have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. I don't know how God may have used that message in your heart, but I can just tell you tonight that we're living in the midst of difficulty, aren't we? And there's chaos all around us. Difficulties. And you might even be dealing with an offense tonight. The adversary, the devil, has thrown something directly into your path. And I would just say to you tonight that God has the help that you have need of. And you need to experience His peace. And you need to experience His stability. And the only way that can happen is by simply looking to His words. Lord, would you please help us tonight? Lord, we need to hear from you, Lord. We need this message. Lord, as our world is spinning out of control, Lord, your desire for us is that we would just have peace in the midst of chaos. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord. And bless the preaching of your word, Lord, that it might minister to our hearts. Lord, help us to make the decisions that need to be made tonight. We love and we thank you for these things. In your name I pray, amen.